All right, on this Tuesday morning, Election Day, don't forget to cast your ballot if you haven't done so already. Port Huron Area School District voted last night 4-3. They're going to do a hybrid start to the school year, some online, some in person. Details yet to be worked out. Joining us right now is the medical officer for St. Clair County, Dr. Annette Mercantat. Dr. Mercantat, good morning.
Good morning, Paul.
What advice would you have for schools that are grappling with this really tough decision right now on how to start the school year?
Yeah, I think the first decision is whether to allow kids in person or not. Our data, our caseload, I think allows for that consideration. We're not really spiraling out of control, but we're certainly not under control. We're continuing to creep up. So there's this little bit of uncertainty there, and unfortunately the decisions have to be made before we really have a firm handle on that. But the other advice I guess the main advice I would give is go slow. If we're going to start something, we need to kind of baby step it, see what impact it has, and if it's working out well, maybe expand it a little bit more. I think we just need to start slow. In other words, you know, all the questions I get, like, you know, what about band? What about this? What about that? And I have to say, I think the most important thing is getting some feet in the school and actually get these kids in the classroom being taught and making sure that we don't have to close down, like, in a week, right? So I think going slow, when you look at some other countries, there seems to be two criteria that have really made a difference. One is the general transmission that's already happening in the community at large. And the second is just the pace of it. You can't just throw open the doors and business as usual. I think that's going to backfire. So careful, caution, and measuring everything that you do before you do anything more. Make sure it's not having an effect that you don't want.
You've been paying very close attention to all these cases of COVID-19 in St. Clair County. How have these cases been changing? In other words, are we seeing more younger people contracting the virus and spreading it than maybe in the early days of COVID-19?
Well, certainly more than March and April. March and April, compared to now, there's a significant shift to the under 30. Okay, so more than doubled the number of cases under 30. But as we continue to grow, expand with cases, you are starting to see more of the older groups get back into the mix. Our eyes really, quite honestly, are focused on hospitalizations to see if those hospitalization rates start to creep up. Right now, they remain low, that's one of the things we might see as things go on. The transmission clearly restarted because of the re-engagement of summer activities, right? Camps and, parties and just all those kinds of things. And now I think that the cat's out of the bag. What we are seeing is a lot of transmission, what we call outbreaks, from people being all close together. We still see transmission amongst families. So once somebody brings it home, the family, in fact, that's the most common transmission is we'll have a family under quarantine and then other people in the family will get sick. I mean, it's really hard. This is a very contagious virus. And so once somebody is sick or has the virus, it's kind of hard not to transmit it when you're living with people or you're near people. So that's definitely a shift, what we're seeing, and it's going to have to just keep going. I want to tell people again, I feel like a broken record, but we ain't done with this. The virus is not done with us. This is not time to, break down and put your guard down. If given a choice between buying a carryout meal and going into a restaurant sitting down, get the carryout. You know, I know it's tough, but the more you can avoid being with crowds, being with other people outside of your family, the better off you're going to be.
So. Yeah. By the way, it's not a death sentence if you get COVID-19, and I don't want to minimize it at all, because it can be for some people. But we're seeing a lot of recovery from this virus, aren't we?
Well, yeah, we've known that all along. The vast majority of people do well. I think the statistics are still going to be around 20% of the people who get infected are going to have a more serious kind of condition, either very ill, hospitalized, or worse. The 20% doesn't sound like much when you're looking at, but when you're looking at a lot of people getting sick, 20% is a lot. Just like I said, you know, we argue over the death rates. Is it 1%? Is it 3%? You know, what is it? And of course, that is going to be resolved probably in the future as we collect more data. It's not going to be right away that we fully understand that. But the reality is, if you have a whole bunch of people getting sick at one time, 1% is a lot of people. As opposed to if the disease is spreading like the flu, where bad flu season, maybe 10% of the population may get sick, that small percentage that gets seriously ill isn't a big number. Still important, but it's not a big number. With this situation, even if you had a low complication rate with a lot of people, 30% of the population, for instance, or 40% of the population, that's a lot of people in a short period of time who get sick. And that's really the problem we're going to have if this continues to accelerate. We're just going to have a lot of resources that are going to be drawn to making sure the COVID issues resolved. And meanwhile, everything else happens. And then we get flu season on top of it. And so things could get pretty crazy in the healthcare world and really in your homes if you're not careful.
Yeah, I want to ask you about the flu season coming up, because there's going to be a lot of people that are going to get the flu and not know if they have the flu or COVID-19. And there's going to be a lot of people that are going to need testing.
Well, yeah, and the good news, I guess, is we do have tests for both. We certainly can't say that you can't get both the flu and COVID. In fact, when this first started, we kind of thought maybe you would not get co-infected, and then some studies came out that showed some patients were infected simultaneously with both viruses, so that remains to be seen. But certainly getting the flu won't negate your ability to get COVID later. So, you know, you're talking about back-to-back infections that can both be pretty devastating. We're going to really be encouraging people to get the flu vaccine. We always want people to get vaccinated, fully vaccinated, but this season in particular, the more you can protect yourself against things that you can protect yourself from, the wiser that's going to be. So we really want people to get their flu shots. They're going to be coming out in August. And as soon as you can, protect yourself with the flu vaccine.
Sounds like a good plan. Going to do all we can. Wear a mask. Wash your hands. Don't touch
your
face.
Mask, do the best you can. Keep your chins up. We'll get through this.
I know. You keep telling us that, and so far we have. So I trust you.
We have, and we will. You know, the problem is it's just so darn exhausting, right?
Yeah.
Everyone's so tired of this. I just don't even want to talk about it anymore. But the reality is, we're going to have to be dealing with this for a long time. So that hang in there, stamina, resiliency, these are the things we really have to dig deep and think about and do as a community, personally, as an individual, as a family. We got to hang tough, but as a community, we have to hang tough. We have to work together with this.
Appreciate everything you do, Annette. You're doing a great job.
Thanks
so much.
Watch you next week. Bye.